This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Brennan and Jesse's 8 Bits, I tell you what I think about Dawn Guard.
I'm going to tell you what I think about Final Fantasy VII.
And then I'm going to tell you what I think about the Android console that I can't honestly pronounce. So stay tuned.
Final Fantasy VII's terrible.
Start.
And welcome back, guys, to another episode of Brennan and Jesse's 8 Bits. We've been gone for just a little bitty while. Bear with us.
Took a break.
Something like that.
The band was breaking up, and we were like, we got to get back together. So we went on a retreat.
We went on new people. A soul search, a self-finding.
Found more writers.
Slaves. Oh, wait, we don't call them that anymore. All right, so game news. This is the game podcast. We should have game news, right? So what kind of game news do we have, you ask? Well, how about this? First thing. Pardon? See, this
I
is.
Said you ask.
This is what I miss. This is I miss the little bitty quirks that interrupt all of my speech. With Sam, I don't get that. Nice. All right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, first item on our list right now. I'm not 100% sure how to say this name, but it's an Android game console that's open source. It's got a Kickstarter project. It's
I think that we should pronounce it the Pacino way.
Oh yeah.
Hey, you guys gonna play the oh yeah later? Oh yeah,
that'd be pretty. You know what? That's a good point. Maybe that's how you say it. I don't know.
It's okay. Oh yeah.
Anyway, it's O U Y A. Oh yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. You know what that always reminds me of when you say that though? When anyone says "oh yeah" like that, reminds me of Master of Disguise. You remember that movie?
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. When he does he does Pacino at the end, you know,
oh yeah,
you get the little stick in there. It could have been lodged in my esophagus.
Esophagus.
It's awesome. Anyway, so this game console, basically what they're striving for here is a game console that anyone can make a game for, and you can put a game out there. There won't be any licensing fees, royalty fees, distribution costs, you know, whatever. It's basically
EA can't screw it up.
Exactly. You know, all these little things that game consoles have for red tape, this will not have them. It is an Android-based console, and pardon me. Sorry, had to clear my stuff. See, we do this. We're real. Crap is real on this podcast. We don't edit, you know?
Yeah, we don't have the money to edit.
Maybe that's it. Anyway.
I mean, it's we don't do it because of our... we have a... Yeah, we just don't have the money, honestly.
Pretty much. All right, so let's see here. They've got some specs on our on Cinema Blend right now that look pretty good. First of all, they actually put this on Kickstarter, which was a fantastic idea because anybody who wants to make money goes on Kickstarter. That's just the way you do it. So they put this on Kickstarter with a goal of $950,000. All right, that's a pretty substantial sum of money. Well, they have a little less than a month to go until they've stopped their funding. They're at $4 million.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because that is fantastic. I mean, hopefully that means that they'll be able to put this out no matter what. I've actually thought about putting money in for this because, you know, maybe you'll get something out of it. I'll have to, let's see, we'll open up their Kickstarter page here. Some of the specs of this thing, like I said, they're not bad. Not bad at all. You've got a Tegra 3 quad-core processor, so that's top-of-the-line processor right now. 1 gigabyte of RAM, 8 gigabytes of internal flash storage, HDMI connection, will support up to 1080p HD. You have your basic Wi-Fi, so it goes all the way up to Wi-Fi 802.11n, Bluetooth LE 4.0, newest Bluetooth, USB 2.0.1. You could probably, it would be nice to see two, but one, at least one USB port is good, because that way you can expand storage, you can sideload games, you know, stuff like that. A wireless controller, and the way I'm looking at this controller right now, it looks very close to, like, an Xbox controller. So it'll be
yeah,
that...
it looks like I said on a... I said that the system itself looks like the bastard child of a GameCube and an Xbox 360.
That's very true. That's a good way of describing it. The controller does have a touchpad on it, which is kind of cool, so that you can navigate around with it. It's going to be running Android 4.0, which they might up that a little bit now that Jelly Bean has come out. Let's see here. On their Kickstarter page, for $10 or more, you reserve your username. That's not really useful to me. $25, you get a founder emblem. Whatever. All right, $95 or more, they are actually sold out of these. It's you get an Ouya console and controller. See here, $99 or more, you get an Ouya console or controller. Yeah, that's pretty much it. For that. I don't know why they have two of those, but oh well. Let's see here.
Change, and they knocked it up an extra $5 or so.
That's possible. Pledge $225 or more, and it's a Kickstarter exclusive. You reserve an Ouya plus two controllers, each with your username etched into it. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
$700 developer special. You get a first run Ouya already rooted, so you can just get going. Early SDK access, extra controller. Promote your game for 1 year, and your games will be marked with a founder emblem. Wow. And they go up from there. $10,000, the angel list. You get entire first... Oh, wow. That's cool. I want this one. $10,000 gets you your username and backer number engraved into every console on the first run production. That'll be... see here. Oh,
that is crazy.
We'll invite you and your friend to a private dinner before our launch party with our inner circle of game developers and designers. And of course, we'll love you forever. That's pretty cool. I wonder how many people have done that. Let's see.
I don't know. With the amount of money that's in there, it seems like some people have.
Five. Five people have pledged $10,000 or more. Whew.
Nice.
We need to go and we need to put our podcast on Kickstarter so we have enough money to edit.
Yeah, well, the problem with Kickstarter, I mean, it's a great, great, great concept, but if you don't have a clear goal and a clear ending to it, then it's very dangerous because you can get sued. So you really need to focus on what you're trying to do. So, I mean, like, if we were looking at, you know, starting a Kickstarter so then we could get some money to the site to, you know, have a dinner for all the writers across the United States and in England, because we have some writers there, then that one we could do, but we'd also have to raise, like...
That'd be a pretty chunk of change.
$30,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a $30,000 thing, so...
We'll have to cut costs and just take them to White Castle.
Yeah. I believe at this moment we have 18 writers.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's including us, so... 18 tickets to a central location, which I assume would be our location since the majority are relatively close.
I'll just drink water and eat bread.
Yeah. I'm just eating the chips. We're bringing them to a Mexican restaurant.
That's great.
Can I have some more of this watered down salsa, please? Thank you.
All right. So this looks pretty interesting, to be honest. I mean, depending on the price point, which it looks like they're shooting for around $100. Because that's what the Kickstarter one is. You know, you pay $100, you get a console with one controller. So, I'm thinking they're shooting for $100. The controller's probably going to be 50 or so. $150 gets you an Android console for, you know, for everyday use. So that's, I mean, that's not bad. I would buy one of these. I might get in on the Kickstarter. It depends.
I mean, I feel like its price is going to go up from $100. So, I mean, buying one for $100 now seems like a really smart idea. That's why they sold so many of those.
That's a good point. All right. So, next, we have... Have you looked at the Star Wars Old Republic at all yet?
Yeah, I actually played it for a short time. It's just not me. Yeah. I love Star Wars too. I mean, you know that I absolutely love Star Wars, but it's just not my thing. It is heavily based on just some things that I don't do in gaming. So yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah,
it's good though.
I haven't played it because they haven't come out with a Mac client yet, so that aggravates the crap out of me. I could go into my boot camp and run it from Windows, but it's a matter of principle. If you're going to put a multiplayer online game out there, you need to make a Mac client. It's not that hard. World of Warcraft does it all the time. So, you know, it's a matter of principle with me. Anyway, if you're interested in trying it out, you can go to their website, and now it is free to try up to level 15, kind of like World of Warcraft has always been. Of course, level 15 is just enough to kind of wet your whistle and not really give you anything, so you're going to want more than likely, unless you don't like the game. However, this is a good way to give it a shot, so you don't have to spend $60.
If the people that I know that play it are to be believed, that's only about 8 hours of gameplay. If that.
I believe it. I do. Because in World of Warcraft, the first, like, 20 levels are the fastest levels of the entire game. So. All right. Next. This one is actually kind of interesting and yet has the potential to be a complete and utter letdown. So we're going to see how this works out. Brandon, you watched The Walking Dead, correct?
I watch it and I read it.
Okay. How would you like a video game, a first-person shooter, which I know you're not a fan of, a first-person shooter of The Walking Dead?
Before we go any further, you would know, I think you know, there's only a couple first-person shooters that I can play that I actually like, and one of them is Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So with that being said, continue on with what you're going to say.
All right. So Activision has announced that they will be publishing a first-person shooter that's based on The Walking Dead. It's going to
see who you're going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be before everything in the show. Okay. Yeah. And what it is you're going to be the Dixon brothers, basically Daryl and Merle.
Daryl and Merle.
Merle. you almost have to have a country accent to say that guy's name. Merle. You know,
Merle anyway. Dixon, Daryl Dixon.
Exactly. So you're going to be playing
some sweet crossbow action.
I know, right? That's going to be awesome. So it's going to be right after the start of the zombie outbreak. So that's kind of cool because you actually get in on, you know, you have to go through all the drama stuff that's in the TV show. You can get right in on the very beginning when there's, you know, pandemonium happening.
When the most panic's happening, because obviously from what we know from Rick waking up, that was the, like, everything was already done, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bodies were everywhere. So
exactly. Now, saying here that things like ammunition are going to be in short supply, so it's going to be a kind of real big survival-based game. And, you know, it's going to have choices along the way. So I always love a game that makes you make a hard choice. Can I save this person, or should I save this person? I cannot save them both, that kind of thing.
Or neither.
Exactly.
If you're playing as Merle, I feel like neither is going to be a pretty common choice.
Probably. So, it's going to release on the PS3, the 360, and the PC in 2013. They do have a teaser trailer out, so you can go ahead and look at that and see what you think. I'm optimistic. I really am. I'm hoping that it stands up to the comics and the TV series. I really do.
Well, the only problem I have is, I mean, the last time we had a video game made from an epic TV show was, like, Lost, that Isle del Muerte or whatever game. And that was just the worst game ever. It was so terrible. So I'm hoping we don't get another one of those. But yeah, I wouldn't get – I don't have my hopes up too high because I know that sometimes they're going to go out of their way just to advertise the show more than they are going to be to make an enjoyable game that we can all really like. With that being said, I know that Kirkman and his team are pretty good at making sure this stuff is done right. So it should be okay.
Very true.
But who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It can go either way. Usually when you're making a game based on a previous, you know, intellectual property, it gets a little tough in there. All right, so Dawn Guard came out while we were on our quote-unquote break. We didn't get to talk about it all that much before it came out, so we'll talk about it a little bit here. There's not a whole lot to say, but I'll give you some of my... You haven't played it yet. I've played both sides of the storyline already. Now, as far as...
Dork.
What? Just call
me. I said dork.
Well, I can't help it. It's just what I'm into, man. Anyway, so name calling aside, God, come get some ham, you fat lard. My tots. Oh, come on, man.
Anyway, come on. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you know,
oh, yeah.
2001.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, somebody did tell me I was using, I talked to him today, and they go, hey, you're talking to my guy all wrong. It's the wrong tone. You do it again, I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, welcome to 2001, where we're going to quote Joe Dirt and Napoleon Dynamite. What's next, Awesome Powers?
No, I won't go that far.
So you do have a line somewhere.
I got fat bastard lines like you would believe.
Anyway, let's go on.
Maybe for
the movie podcast.
Sure. Anyway, so
not for the movie podcast. Don't be
joking. Writing down in his notes. the Dawn Guard pack is actually it. I mean, there's a part of me that says it's worth the money, and there's a part of me that says it's not. Here's why. The actual missions themselves are really good. A lot of them are the basic thing. You go here, you get this, you come back, you fight things on the way there and on the way back. There are a lot of places where you kind of almost get lost because the missions get so long that kind of sucks because a lot of times you're in places that are off the map. So you can't actually, you know, you go there, you go into this portal, and then you're somewhere completely different. It does have a lot of extra little bitty side quests that don't pertain to the main story, so you'll get a lot more content in there. I'm not a huge side quest person. I just pick them up when they get in my way. So as far as gameplay time is concerned, I think... you're talking about another... If you're a ridiculous completionist, I think you might be able to squeeze 10 hours out of this. I believe
Are the extra villains and creatures that are introduced, are they worth it? Because, you know, sometimes you get tired of killing mammoths and giants all the time.
And, see, that's another problem, is that just the vampires are just vampires, really. There's nothing all that different about them from the
vampires. There's not that many of them, really. So, I mean, in the original
run-through,
you don't run into them very often.
Exactly. So there are more vampires to come into, but they're just, you know, they're just vampires. There's nothing all that special about them. If you're a vampire, for instance, you do have to fight the Dawn Guard, which are basically just... people with vampire-killing weapons, you know, they're specifically killing vampires. The big bosses, one of the people you have to fight is Vampire Lord. He's pretty tough because he has the Vampire Lord ability, which is pretty cool. It's if you become a vampire, so you could choose at the very beginning of the storyline to become a vampire or to become Dawn Guard. And if you become a vampire... he changes you and he gives you the Vampire Lord ability, which turns you into kind of this human bat looking thing.
Super vampire.
Pretty much. It's basically the same thing as the werewolf thing when you turn into a werewolf. However, you can go in and out of this at will. You don't have to wait for it to run out like you do with the werewolf. So you go into vampire, you know, vampire lord, and you have two modes. You have magic and you have melee. So if you're magic, you're hovering above the ground a little bit, makes you a little harder to hit, and one of your hands is a resurrection spell, the other one is a drain life spell. So you just use those to bring things back to life to fight for you, and use the other one to suck life from people to power yourself. So that's kind of cool. I wish there was more options, you know, more spells that you can get into, but there really isn't that many. They just level up and get bigger and bigger. If you go into melee mode, you actually drop down to the ground, and you can, you know, use your claws and your wings and kill people that way. There are special abilities you have when you're a vampire lord, such as one of your abilities is to basically vanish, turn into a big cloud of bats, and reappear somewhere else. You know, not very far away, but far enough that you're out of range of melee attacks. So if you're really getting beat up, you hit that, boom, you zip around behind somebody. You don't get to control where you go, but you do get a good distance on them. You also have the ability to turn into, like, a mist that you can float around. You can't attack anything, but you also can't take damage. So, and people can see you, so you don't think you're running away. You're just, you know, floating there. It's nice to do if you need to replenish your health or something like that. So that's, you know, kind of handy. Other than that, there really aren't that many perks to becoming a vampire, I found. Of course, you get upgraded strength and stuff like that if you don't feed, but the sun, if you're in the sunlight, and unlike the original Oblivion, you don't take damage all the time. The sunlight will stunt your ability to revive your health and your stamina, which, if you're a melee player like me, really, really hits you hard, because I rely on my health regeneration to keep myself going, and my stamina to power my weapons. So, you know, really, if you're anything except for a magic user, I would say try the vampire, but you might want to stay away from it, because it's really magic heavy. As far as Dawnguard is concerned, they're pretty much the exact opposite. They are weapons and explosions all the way. They are the Expendables of the Elder Scrolls universe, because they, you know, you have all kinds of vampire-specific weapons, things that hurt vampire, you know, it's sunlight damage and all this good stuff. Plus, you get crossbows. Oh, yeah. Now, a lot of people, when they play the vampire side, if you choose the vampire side first, the first thing you think is, oh, man, there's only one crossbow in this whole entire freaking game. That's a waste. What you don't understand is that you have to be Dawnguard to get the rest of those crossbows. There are a bunch of different crossbows, and they go up and get more powerful as you go, so you have to be a Dawnguard to use all those crossbows. Now, the crossbow...
Are they more powerful than a standard bow?
Actually, crossbows are just a little, like, right underneath a standard bow for me. My archery is maxed out, and I enchant all my bows. So my enchanted crossbow with regular crossbow bolts is just a little bit less powerful than my bow. The thing is that as soon as I pull the trigger on a crossbow, it fires. And then I have to reload. Okay, with a bow, you actually pull the bow up, pull the arrow, and then shoot. So it's an instant shot that really, you know, makes it worthwhile. So if you get if somebody sneaks up on you, you turn around, hit the trigger, bam, they've got a bolt in their chest. You know, so it's really, really fast. Also, you get perks like explosive bolts and, you know, different kinds of bolts to where you can upgrade to, you know, you can upgrade your crossbow without having to really dive into, you know, enchantments and anything like that. You can enchant crossbows, and also your archery skill transfers to your crossbow skill, basically. So, you know, if you're good with a bow, you'll be good with a crossbow. Other than that, there's not... One thing that is kind of nifty with Dawnguard, you can actually get a troll in armor to follow you around. You can buy a guardian troll. It's just a giant frost troll with, like, blades on his arms and a helmet that just walks around and just freaking pulverizes things. That's kind of fun, but I don't usually...
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I...
But that's only for a vampire, right?
No, that's only for Dawnguard.
No.
See, vampires don't get a lot of... They don't get a lot of perks. The vampire storyline is actually pretty hard because you don't get all the stuff that the Dawnguard has. So, yeah. Now, if you play in Dawnguard, I won't give too much away, but throughout the storyline, you will have chances to become a vampire as a Dawnguard. Now, this will alienate you from the rest of Dawnguard. People will not, you know, be extremely happy with you, but you will still be able to finish out the storyline. It's just you're going to get a lot more beguiling stares. So I didn't take that chance. I did not turn into a vampire yet. It's a little harder if you don't, which is strange. But, you know, I went ahead and I forced my way through. So, as far as the endings are concerned, they could have been bigger. You know, they could have been better. But they are allowed to be open-ended because it's not going to end the game when you beat this DLC. You get to keep going. So,
for
they can't make
them... map. Sorry, for the overall map, does it add vampires throughout the map so then at least you have that?
Yes.
So it's not just like, oh yeah, by the way, the area that we're doing this mission, it's special. But everything else is completely normal and the same. It actually kind of increases the threat of vampirism throughout the...
Yeah, it does bulk up the number of vampires that you'll find in general. Now, places like the Vampire Castle... You can only get to it from one spot, and you can't get to it any other way. You can't mountain climb, you can't cross a river, nothing. Dawnguard is one place. You can only get to the Dawnguard Castle from the entrance to a cave. You can't get to it any other way. But this allows for them to, you know, keep people out of it unless they start the mission a certain way. Which, the way the storyline is built, you have to start these missions a certain way, otherwise they make no sense. So, you do, later on in both campaigns, you get a bow that has the ability to block out the sun with a giant red, like a red cyclone of blackness. It's pretty cool looking. And then you also, another thing it can do, when you shoot an arrow into the sun, it will actually rain down shards of fire on your enemies in your general area. So if, you know, if that's something you're into, I haven't used it because, frankly, when you're getting attacked by multiple enemies and you need to use something like this, equipping a special bow with a special arrow and pointing straight up at the sun to shoot it really gives you a lot of time that you can get shanked. So I try to stay away.
Gear shank!
So that's really, I mean, that's what I think about it. It's worth the money if you're a Skyrim player. If you really love Skyrim, it is worth the money. So, you know, go pick it up. I believe it's still 1,600 Microsoft points, so it'll be $20. But, hey, forget about it. All right. Let's see here. It's what we're playing. That's what we got next. And from what I understand, yours is going to take a while. So I'll go ahead and I'll go first. Let's see, my first game that I have on here, I haven't been playing, honestly, I should have reversed these, but Magic Duels of the Planeswalkers, it's basically a Magic card game. I'm playing it on iOS. I have a review for it. I guess I could link to that in the show notes. Whoa, cross-promotion, man. But basically, it is just like, I remember back in the day, back in Windows 95, I had Magic the Gathering card game on PC, and you could create decks and play cards and all that stuff. It's basically the same thing. It is digital magic dueling. I mean, there's a storyline and a campaign and everything behind it, but it's basically just digital magic dueling. And it is a fantastic game. If you go for iOS, the game itself is actually free. So you download it, you get a starter deck, you get all that good stuff. You can actually just start playing right away for free. Completely free.
Yay, free.
Exactly. And then you can pay to unlock other things and unlock the full game and, you know, foil decks and more cards and things like that until you've got enough content to keep yourself busy for days and days and days. Now, it does have a tutorial mode that'll teach anyone who's interested in playing Magic how to play it. It's pretty comprehensive. It's a pretty good tutorial mode. It will teach you a lot. I actually went through it, and I learned a few things that had just come out in recent decks that I haven't seen since I was playing. And I'm like, wow, that's incredibly useful. Thank you, iPad. So, yeah, it's good stuff. The second game I've been playing, this one's a blast from the past. It's Sid Meier's Pirates. And actually, it's Pirates! Because it has an exclamation point after it. Now, this
Sid Meier doesn't allow games to come out without exclamation points at the end of them.
So, Pirates is basically a high seas adventure where you pilot a boat and you attack other boats, you plunder, you fight, you know, naval battles, and then you bombard cities, and you trade goods between ports, you take ships, and you trade those in, and it's basically just your basic gold farming fiasco. But it's so enjoyable. I don't know what it is about this game. I don't know if it's just the fact that I'm a gold farmer at heart, or what the deal is, but I love attacking a ship, boarding it, fighting my way to the captain, fighting the captain, taking his ship to the nearest port and selling it. You know, leaving him in the ocean and selling his ship. And then later on,
I do that from real life.
I used to, and then it just got too expensive. I should start a Kickstarter so that I could go plundering again. Anyway, so if you have an iPad especially, go get Sid Meier's Pirates. I believe it's also available on smaller screen devices like the iPhone and the iPod. But the iPad, it really shines. It looks great. Plays amazingly well. The touch controls translate fantastically. As far as price is concerned, I believe it is a $5 game. That shows you how much I pay attention when I buy things on iOS. Steve Jobs really has that one.
Have you reviewed it or anything?
No, I didn't, because they didn't give me a free copy to review. You want reviews? You give me copies. Making copies. Ha! Got another one in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're still 90s today.
I know.
2000s.
So, Pirates is available on the App Store. It's $4.99. And, like I said, if you enjoy pirate games, it's really great. It's pretty much all ages, you know. You got sword fighting, but there's no blood. It's a great game. Go ahead and pick that up. Why don't you? And tell them I sent you.
Sid Meier's, I mean, I'm not into the Sid Meier's games, but they never put out crappy games, really. I mean, every game they put out is pretty good, pretty solid.
Exactly. All right. Your turn, my friend.
All right. Well, I had just moved, so my whole area is all over the place. And I have been recently replaying PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 games, stuff like that, right? And I had talked a while back how I was replaying Saga Frontier and how people were, you know, they hated on the game, but playing it now, the depth of the game was actually impressive, especially for the time, whenever games were just put out just to be whatever. So that being said, I just replayed Chrono Cross and finished it all the way. And I'm talking playing through it the three or actually four separate times, so then you can get everything 100%. I think that the game's got a couple weaknesses, but for the most part, it's one of the most solid RPGs that has ever existed. Not only does it play up the storyline from Chrono Trigger, which is probably one of the most favorited RPGs of all time, but on top of that, just the other things it does is just crazy. I mean, just the sheer idea of that many characters. I mean, I can't even remember. I think there's over 30 people you can get. And just the way it's put together is just fun, and you can really enjoy yourself. That being said, I had just restarted Final Fantasy VII. Now, everyone that knows me knows I don't like Final Fantasy VII anyway. I just never really got into it. Replaying it now in the level that I am now, which is I really look into games. I really look into depth. I've played new games. I've played games that have so much depth. Games nowadays, they put so much time and effort into everything that you can really, if you go back and play old games, you really, really, really can judge them. Now, Final Fantasy VII gets this this, like, I don't know, this high praise of being, like, the best game ever. But honestly, I'm not going to lie, I think that not only is it almost one of the weakest games in the Final Fantasy series, it's one of the weakest games to come out ever. The game only did well because it was the first of things. I mean, and it sucks that the first gets so much, you know, praise, but it was just the first. Yeah, sure, it was the first real RPG that went with those graphics, but the magic system, the fighting system, everything on it is just kind of lame. And the graphics, I understand that we're talking years ago, but those weren't even groundbreaking graphics at the time. The cutscenes, yeah, the cutscenes do. But, I mean, the regular graphics are just absolutely terrible, even for the time there. I've seen Nintendo 64 games with better graphics. Mario 64, Super Mario RPG for the SNES has better graphics overall than this game. I just don't like it. It's not good. The character development is so poor that it's almost like they didn't even know what story to do. They started with the story, and as soon as you start getting kind of to the point where it's interesting, they change it. And that happens 3 or 4 times in the game. It just, overall, it was not original. Nothing new. Nothing groundbreaking. Nothing about it is special whatsoever. I don't get why it gets its high praise. I think it is a terrible game, and this is coming from somebody who has played every Final Fantasy game, who's played probably almost every single RPG there is that at least came out in America, even some that didn't. And I put a lot of time into these things. I think about them. I really put a lot of effort into wondering what's good and what's bad. And I'm not like one of those people who just think old games is terrible. You know, I if you put games beside each other, I don't think Skyrim is better than Super Mario 3. You know what I mean? It's just, I can judge games based on their time period. This game is terrible. I just wish people will stop giving all its praise. The characters are terrible. Even the best character in the game, who is the main villain, even his character is actually kind of crappy when you go back and look at it. I don't get people's praise of it. I don't get it. I don't know why it got such a following, but it needs to stop, people. Right now, everyone's just talking about how great they love it because they want to be that person who talks about how they love it. But in all honesty, stop it. Start, you know, telling people what you really think about the game, because I guarantee I've gotten people to actually admit to me. I'm like, tell me what you really think about it. You know, I don't care what you think. You'd be surprised some people are like, well, I didn't like it. I just, you know, everyone else liked it and it was such a favorite game. I didn't want to annoy people by saying I was different, or they didn't like, I don't want to be a hipster because I didn't like that game. But the game's not good, so there's no point in liking it. I feel like, I know Chrono Cross was many years, well, not even many years, like 3 years later. And I know that there was a huge progression in gaming between that time. But I mean, it destroys it. And I mean, just Final Fantasy VIII, you can say whatever you want about it. I love the game. I know that people hated it for different reasons. But if we put Final Fantasy IX alongside Final Fantasy VII, it just kills it in everything. But it doesn't get the praise it deserves. So, people, stop saying Final Fantasy VII is a good game. It is not a good game. And if you have an argument that it is a good game without saying it was the first, because that's the argument I always hear. It was the first game to do that. You know what? Chrono Cross, whatever. Or, you know, this game, whatever. Breath of Fire, whatever. This, whatever. It wouldn't even have it if it wasn't for Final Fantasy VII. Stupid argument. I don't want to hear it. The first is not always the best. The first Punisher movie is absolutely terrible. We're not going to sit there and say that's the best Punisher movie there's ever been. The first is not the best. Stop thinking it is. And it wasn't even the first. It was just the first one to up it. And they barely even did that. It's like the Call of Duty of games, you know? They're like, oh, well, Final Fantasy VI was so popular. Let's kind of add three-dimensional graphics to it, and then we'll act like it's a whole new game. But Final Fantasy VI kills Final Fantasy VII. It's so much better. The story, the characters, everything. That's my rant. We've been gone for a month. That had rant built up, and it's all about how Final Fantasy VII is absolutely terrible.
And yet you're
just
playing
stop
it,
people. Oh yeah, I literally played all the way through. I never do I judge something without knowing about it. You know, like you know what? I don't like, if I don't like a celebrity or something like that, if I just think they're annoying from something they say on the news or something, I'll still watch some of their movies or watch them on interviews. And if I've decided after two movies, two interviews, that I can't stand these people, then I won't talk. I don't like them. But sometimes people just look bad at one instance, you know? Like Joaquin Phoenix, that guy looked bad one time, and then people are like, I don't like him because of all the weird stuff he did. But it's like, yeah, well, look at all the other times. He's not like that anymore. He wasn't like that before. It was a small period of time. So, I don't know. I always give everything a chance. I'm giving Final Fantasy VII a chance. I am just about to start the third disc, so I'm just about to basically finish the freaking game. I have been using an extra guide as well, which I'd never do. I've been using an extra guide to make sure that I'm getting 100% out of this game, because I want to make sure that I just finish it all the way. I've played all the extra stuff. By the way, the extras on 7, terrible. Oh my god, are they terrible and boring. The Chocobo stuff on there is absolutely the worst. With that being said, that's all I gotta say. I'm playing Final Fantasy 7. I still hate that game.
I absolutely, positively despise that game. For a lot of the reasons you've stated, but mostly because it made my eyes bleed. I don't know what it was about it besides what you've said already, but I hated it. Look, I would play it, and like you, I mean, I went through and I beat it because, you know, I've got to beat a game once I start playing it. It bothers me if I don't.
Was talking how great it was.
I so hate it.
Play it for. When you played it for an hour or two, when you're like 2 hours in and you're not enjoying yourself at all, you're like, okay, obviously I haven't got to the point where people have gotten so much fun out of this, so I need to get a little deeper. Then you get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you're like, where is it? Where is this fun that everyone's having? And you don't even realize what it is. You don't know why they're having fun.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I have friends who absolutely love that game, and I just, in all honesty, I mean, it could be that I'm just not the target audience, because I hate turn-based combat, number one, and I can't stand RPGs that are mostly third person. So, that's probably a big part of it. I don't know. Final Fantasy VII sucks.
I love those games and I hate it.
Better don our flame-proof suits. Everybody's going to want to.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy VII was the bestest!
No. If I had to put one of them above all others, I'd have to say 6. Final Fantasy 6. Or 3. It was released in America as 3 on the SNES, but it was 6 was the official number of it.
I couldn't suggest any of them to anybody. I couldn't do it. I don't hate anybody that much. I can come up with a better game. All right. That's our episode for this week. So, Brandon, I guess next thing, if I remember how to do this, since it's been so long, aren't you supposed to tell people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
Yeah, I am, actually. That's the funny thing. I actually spent this month working on my about.me page.
Yes.
Because Jesse uses it, and everything's there. I mean, you can find everything. I mean, obviously, I'm going to really specify that you can follow me on Twitter, at Brando Supreme. But also, you can go to about.me/Brandon C. Williams. That's me. And, you know, you get a little bit of insight of me. I'm goofy on there. I'm going to be updating it later today with actually the site's number just to see what kind of terrible, terrible numbers we get, which will be fun. Or calls. Sorry, numbers. I don't know what I'm talking about. And, yeah, other than that, you know, just go to about.me/Brandon C. Williams and follow me on Twitter. I am nearing 200 followers right now. I'm getting really close to it. So I am actually going to send out a surprise gift. Once I reach 200, I'm going to randomly choose a person. And if it's like a bot or something, I'm going to skip them. But when I get to a real person, I'm going to send them, after I contact them, I'm going to send them a surprise gift. One of my 200 followers. So follow me. And if you know anybody else, have them follow me. Because if you're following me and you get more people to follow me, you have a chance to actually win the prize. So, and you won't know what it is because it's going to be an absolute surprise. But you'll like it. I already know what it is. I haven't told anybody, but you'll like it. All right, Jesse, why don't you tell people where they can find you and then end this bad boy with the phone number.
Oh, man. The phone number. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Crap. Crap, phone number, phone number. Oh, hey, I found it. It was on my laptop all the time. Anyway, if you want to... Yep, now the dog's going nuts. Good job.
He's like, don't you know what the phone number is?
God damn it. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter, Pen of Doom. If you want to email, email me. It's jesse@8daysofgeek.com. Also, like Brandon, I have an about.me page. You can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find everything about.me. All right, if you want to email or I knew something would be coming up. I stopped myself right in the middle. If you want to send us a text message or leave a voicemail, our number is 754-273-6397. Nothing?
What?
Oh, yeah. The number is 754-273-6397. And you would suspect that
the slow pan of disbelief does not work well in audio.
Oh, no, not at all. Not in the least.
That's what I just did. It just sounded dead for a couple seconds, and then I said something. I was, like, shocked. So that's what happened there.
Ah. Well, see, now we all understand. And
I think, though, I am randomly not going to say something one day and just see how long you wait for me to say something, because that was a good 2 seconds that you were sitting there like...
I was like,
come on.
I almost, like,
so
broke
in... One of these days, I'm going to sneak it in there.
I almost broke into, like, Barney Rubble. Hey, Fred. Wilma's knuckle like this. Anyway. Yeah, I'm a voice actor at heart. I have quite the portfolio. So that's our episode. What'd you say?
You said I almost broke into Barney Rubble, and I said I almost broke into Barney Fife. Why are there so many ostriches? There's way too many ostriches.
We just need to do a show as the Barneys. That'd be fantastic. All right, guys. Join us. Let's end it quick. God. Anyway, join us next month for another fun-filled episode of Brandon and Jesse's 8 Bits. And that's all I can say is just please come back next month. Please. Please.
See you guys.
See ya.
Start.
I think I need to make one of those that says pause.
Or you just make, like, the classic, like...
Yeah.